بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So in the previous lesson we started looking at the second principle from the six principles written by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, and we went through the explanation of Shaykh Ubaid Al-Jabiri hafizahullah ta'ala. And the Shaykh brought four evidences from the Qur'an, from amongst others, to establish the proof for this principle, which is the command to unity and the prohibition of differing and splitting in the religion. And so the Shaykh elaborated upon those four verses in the Qur'an. And in the course of mentioning one of those verses, the Shaykh alluded to the fact that these verses were taken to mean to refer to the people of innovation and desires in this ummah, that this was an interpretation. And just to cover that aspect in the first part of this lesson, we're going to read through some of the narrations that were brought by Imam Shatibi rahimahullah ta'ala. I mentioned in the previous lesson that Imam Shatibi rahimahullah, in the beginning of his book Al-I'tisam, he addresses this issue in the course of speaking about bid'ah, innovations, and he mentions many of the narrations from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een in interpreting some of these verses which mention splitting and differing. And so he establishes from these narrations that these ayat are applicable to the people of innovation and the people of desires from this ummah, because that is the actual intent in warning about the previous nations who differed and split, meaning that it is a prohibition on the one hand and a warning at the same time against those who split and differ and create schisms in this religion. So from those ayat in the Quran is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. So this ayah is well known, a famous ayah, and the tafsir of this ayah, as explained by Ibn Mas'ud, is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a line in the sand, and then he said, هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ, this is the path of Allah. And then he drew lines to the right and to the left, and then he said, هَذِهِ سُبُلٌ مُتَفَرِّقَةٌ, these are the divergent paths, those paths that split away. عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ مِنْهَا شَيْطَانٌ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ, at the end of every path amongst them is a devil who calls to it. And then he recited this verse in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 153, in which there occurs, in meaning, that this is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow other paths, lest they take you away and split you from his path. So, Al-Bikr bin Ala, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his commentary upon this ayah, as narrated by Ahmad and Ad-Darimi in his Sunan, he said, أَحْسَبُهُ أَرَادَ شَيْطَانًا مِنَ الْعِنْسِ وَهِيَ الْبِدَعُ. So he commented upon this ayah and he said, I consider that he intended here the shaitan from the men, and these are the innovations. So in other words, that when the Messenger of Allah he mentioned at the end of each one of these paths, meaning on the right and the left, is a devil, and he meant devil from amongst the men. And this obviously refers to the innovations. And as for Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala, as is narrated by At-Tabari, Ibn Abi Hatim and many others, he said about this ayah and obviously the hadith, al-bid'ah wa-shubuhat, al-bid'ah wa-shubuhat, meaning the innovations and the doubts, the misconceptions and the doubts. So here we see clearly from the sunnah, from the prophetic ahadith, and likewise from some of the tabi'een and the mufassireen, clearly explaining this ayah to be in reference to the people of innovation and misguidance. And to be very clear and explicit, in the time of the tabi'een and the sahaba, those sects which emerged were the khawarij, and likewise the qadariyah, and we see that some of the companions specifically interpreted these ayat to be in reference to the khawarij and the qadariyah. And so before we come to these narrations, there is another ayah in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ قَصْدُ السَّبِيلِ وَمِنْهَا جَائِرٌ وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَحَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that to Allah and upon Allah is to explain the path, or does the path go, and on it are paths which diverge, there is that which diverges, and had he willed, he would have guided all of you. Surah Al-An'am, Surah 16, verse number 9. And Ash-Shatibi, rahimahullah, he comments and he says, the sabil, as-sabilu al-qasd, here what is meant by this is the path of the truth, and what is besides it of the various paths, they divert away from that path, and these are the paths of innovation, al-bid'ah wa-dalalat. And then he quotes from At-Tustari, who explains this ayah. He says, qasdu as-sabil in this ayah means tariq sunnah, the path of the sunnah. And when Allah says wa minha ja'irun, meaning he says ya'ni ila an-nar, that from this path is that which diverges away, meaning to the fire. وَذَلِكَ الْمِلَلُ وَالْبِدَعُ, and that is the milal, meaning the various doctrines and religions, وَالْبِدَعُ, and the various innovations. And likewise, Mujahid, the Mufassir, he explained the قَصْدُ السَّبِيلِ to be that which is moderate in between extremism and negligence. And Ash-Shatibi rahimullah, he then comments upon the statement of Mujahid, and he says that this gives us the benefit that al-ja'ir in this ayah is that which is al-ghali, that which falls into extremism, or that which is al-muqassir, that which falls into negligence. And he says wakilahuma min awsafil bid'ah, and both of these traits, either extremism or negligence, both of these are from the characteristics of the innovations. And then we also have, regarding the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayah that we mentioned in the previous lesson, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, indeed those who split their religion and turn into sects, you have nothing to do with them at all. This is in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 159. And regarding this, then Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, as cited by Shatibi, he says that this ayah, and he quotes actually Ibn Atiyah with respect to this statement, so he says, this ayah is general. هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ تَعُمُّ أَحْلَ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَالْبِدَعِ, that this ayah encompasses and is general for all of the people of innovation and the people of desires. And then we also have the statement of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, and he says nazalat fi hadhihi al-ummah, that this ayah came down in relation to this ummah. And this is narrated by Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf, Ibn Jarir, At-Tabari and others. And Abu Umama, the companion radiyallahu anhu, he said Humul Khawarij, they are the Khawarij. And the same thing is narrated from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu regarding this ayah, and in fact the ayah which is mentioned in Surah Ar-Rum, Surah Ar-Rum, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. Do not be like the pagans, those who split their religion and turn into sects. Then we have the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hud, the 11th surah, in which Allah says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ, that they will never cease to differ except the one upon whom your Lord bestows His mercy. وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ, and thus, for thus did he create them. And again from Mujahid rahimahullah, the Mufassir, he said, مختلفين, المختلفين meaning those who are the Ahlul Batil, people of falsehood. And when Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ, except those upon whom Allah bestows His mercy, Ahlul Haqq, laysa fihim ikhtilafun, these are the people of truth, there is no differing amongst them. And there is also the statement of Ikrimah rahimahullah ta'ala, another one from the Tabi'een, and he says, wala yazaluna mukhtalifina, the statement of Allah, they will never cease to be differing. He says, ya'ni fil ahwa', meaning in the desires, meaning the innovations. Illa man rahima rabbuk, except those upon whom your Lord bestows His mercy, meaning hum ahlus sunnah. And this is narrated by Ibn Jarir At-Tabari in his tafsir and others. And finally, a number of verses, and the first of them is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ أَحْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاكِهِ, those who break the covenant of Allah after it had been ratified. وَيَقَطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوسَلْ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and they cut off that which Allah had ordered that it be joined, and they create mischief upon the earth. Now this ayah and another ayah in the Quran, فَلَمَّا أَزَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that when they deviated, then Allah caused their hearts to deviate. We see that these two verses right here which I mentioned, the first verse is in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2 verse 27, and the second verse about the hearts being deviated is in Surah Saf, Surah 61, verse number 5. These two verses were explained by some of the companions, as is narrated by Mus'ab bin Sa'ad, Mus'ab bin Sa'ad, who was one of the companions, that these were applied to the Haruriyya and the Khawarij. The Haruriyya and the Khawarij. And we have another ayah in the Quran which we finish with, which is in Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, verse 103 and 104, in which Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسِبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. In this ayah, Allah says, say, shall we inform you of those who are the most ruined in terms of their deeds? Those who striving in the life of this world will be astray, will be lost, and they think that they were doing righteousness or doing righteous deeds. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he said about this ayah, minhum ahlu harura, that from them are the people of harura, meaning the khawarij who descended at this place harura when they deserted Ali radiallahu anhu. And the same thing is narrated also from Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the imams from the Salaf. And so this ayah refers to the Khawarij, who thought they were guided, but in reality they were misguided. And so therefore these ayat, all of these verses that we mentioned, and likewise the verses mentioned by Sheikh Ubaid, we find that in the origin they apply to the Jews and the Christians, who fell into splitting and differing and schisms and so on and so forth, despite having the truth. And at the same time, it refers to the people of bid'ah and dalala in this ummah, who likewise we have the truth present with us. The truth has been clarified and made clear. It was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And so despite that, and despite the presence of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we see that these people, they split and divided, and from them were the Khawarij and the Rafida and the Qadariya and the Murji'a. And then in the time of the Imams of the Salaf from the Tabi'een, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and other than them. So all of these ayat are applicable to the likes of these people. So moving on now, the Shaykh then states, after mentioning these four verses, the four verses that we mentioned in the previous lesson, and what we just read now, by the way, was from Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah ta'ala, just some of the narrations that he mentions in Al-I'tizam. So coming back now to the speech of Shaykh Ubaid hafizahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, after quoting the four verses from the previous lesson, he said that these are four texts from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which the command to unity upon the deen of Allah, which he revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has become very clear, very clear, just as it has become clear the prohibition from splitting. And this command applies to both manhaj and aqidah. And likewise, the prohibition of differing also applies to aqidah and manhaj. There is no difference. And so it applies to all of these things. The Shaykh then says, someone might say, a person might say, what then is the solution? When we find that there is dispute and controversy between the Muslimin, what then is this is solution? And so the Shaykh says, the jawab, the answer is to be found in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْوِيلًا. That if you dispute between yourselves in anything, then return it back to Allah and His Messenger. If indeed you believe in Allah and the Last Day, that is better and the most suitable outcome, the best outcome. This is Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 59. So every difference, the Shaykh says, is returned back to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of His Messenger, and it is not returned back to the intellects of men at all, ever. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He never made the affair of the religion to be entrusted to mankind, meaning to the intellects of mankind. Why? Because if we look at mankind as a whole, we see that their intellects vary from each other, their orientations vary from each other, they differ in belief, they differ in methodology, they differ in their views and opinions. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not refer these matters back to the intellects of men. Rather, He entrusted the bayan, the clarification and the explanation, to His book and to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this informs us that whoever tries to seek his religion or the answers to the disputes in his religion from other than the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he's either one of two people. Either he is someone who is jahil, he is ignorant, or he is dalun mudillun. He is someone who is astray himself, and he misguides other people. He makes other people to go astray. And he is someone who is following his desires, he's following his opinion. And here at this point, there is the statement of Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he made a remark regarding the people of Ra'i, the people of opinion, the people who come with their opinion in the face of the texts of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَأَهْلَ الرَّعِي فَإِنَّهُمْ أَعْيَتْهُمُ الْأَحَادِيثِ أَنْ يَحْفَظُوهَا فَقَالُوا بِالرَّعِي فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. He said, beware of the people of opinion, for indeed it has escaped them to memorize the ahadith, meaning they were not really capable of memorizing ahadith, it was too much for them. So they began to speak with opinion, and thus went astray, and they caused others to go astray. And the Shaykh says that when we look at all of the jama'at of da'wah, those jama'at which claim to be making da'wah, all the modern jama'at in our time, then you will find that their methodologies and their foundations and their beliefs, they're all founded upon, for the most part, they are founded upon men, meaning the views and opinions of men. And the Shaykh says, we don't look at people and judge them for their intentions, because the one who judges intentions is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who judges intentions. So we don't look at the intentions of these people, because Allah knows the intentions. However, what we judge by is the outward apparent reality. And the outward apparent reality of these jama'at, we find that they are upon error. And an error is an error. A mistake is a mistake. And misguidance is misguidance. Even if the intention of the person upon it is righteous and, you know, has a good intention. And in fact, a sign that the intention was correct in the first place is that when a person from these jama'at is informed of his error and deviation from the haqq, then he will return to that which is correct. And that's a sign that initially his intention was correct. And this in fact shows to us at the same time that many of these people who are upon the jama'at of today that we see, who are involved in da'wah, from the Ikhwan and the Tabligh and the Hizb al-Tahrir, and likewise the followers of certain individuals, be they the Qutbiyya, or the followers of Adnan Arur, or the followers of Abdurrahman ibn al-Khaliq, or the followers of all of these different people, Ali Hassan al-Halabi and Hajuri and all these people, that one of the signs of sincerity is that you return to the truth once the error is made clear to you, once the error of that way that you were upon, or those usul that you've taken from that individual that you were following, that a sign of your correct sincere intention in the first place is that you came back from that mistake. So this is the discussion of the various ayat regarding splitting and differing. And this leads us now to the ahadith that the Shaykh, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he brings. And so from those ahadith is the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith, افترقت اليهود على إحدى وسبعين فرقة, that the Jews split into 71 sects, and the Christians split into 72 sects, and this ummah shall split على ثلاث وسبعين فرقة, upon 73 sects, all of them in the fire except for one. And they said, من هي يا رسول الله, which one is that, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, Al-Jama'ah, the Jama'ah. Which Jama'ah is this? The Jama'atul Haqq, the Jama'ah upon the truth, which is following the book and the sunnah upon the way of the Salaf. This is the Jama'atul Najiyah. This is the saved Jama'ah. It is the Ta'ifatul Mansura. It is the aided group, which is mentioned in another hadith, in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. There will never cease to be a faction from my nation upon the truth manifestly. They will not be harmed by those who oppose them until the command of Allah arrives. The Shaykh says this is the aided group, and this is as-Salafiyyah. This is Salafiyyah. All of these things are synonymous. Al-Jama'ah is the truth, and that's the Jama'ah of the companions. And they are At-Ta'ifatul Mansurah. They are the aided group. Allah aided them. Allah gave them victory. And Allah established Islam through their hands in the East and the West. And it is also Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. People of Jama'ah. People of Sunnah. They stick to the Jama'ah and they adhere to unity. And they are As-Salafiyyah. They are the people upon Salafiyyah. So all of these are synonymous and the same. So this is the first hadith the Shaykh uses as a proof to prohibit disunity in the religion and to order unity in the religion. The second hadith is the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, to the end of the hadith. The best of mankind is my generation, then those who follow them, then those who follow them. how is this a command to unity? A person might ask, where is the command to unity in this hadith? And if you remember from the previous lesson, we mentioned that in the Quran, sometimes we have a command in the proper sense of the word, meaning an actual command in the word itself, like Allah says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ أَقِيمُ, establish the prayer. This is a clear, explicit command. And likewise a prohibition. But so this is the asl, this is the foundation. But then there are other ways and other methods of indicating a command or a prohibition. And so from those ways, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might express His pleasure for a certain thing. Like we mentioned the hadith, indeed Allah is pleased with three things for you: that you worship Him alone, provided you do not split, and that you give advice to the rulers. So Allah's pleasure, when Allah indicates His pleasure with something, that's an indirect way of indicating a command. And likewise, Allah might indicate His displeasure and hatred of something, like qil wal qal, like, you know, spreading, saying, narrating things, qil wal qal, you know, just narrating things between people, and many other things that we find which are like this. So when we look at the various texts, sometimes we will not find an explicit command in that text saying, for example, do not divide or be united, but rather we see it in an indirect way. And so here, this is quite a good istidlal. This is a really good deduction of evidence by Sheikh Ubaid Hafizullah Ta'ala from this hadith, that the best of mankind is my generation, then those who follow them, then those who follow them. How is this a command to unity? It is a command to unity because here this is a command to be united upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making tamassuk to the book and sunnah, which is the foundation, upon the way of the Salaf al-Salih, who are specifically, as indicated by this hadith, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, and then the Tabi'een. Right, so this hadith is a command to make tamassuk to the deen of Allah by way of the fahm, the understanding of the Sahaba, Tabi'een, and Tabi'een. And so this really is in essence a command to unity. And when we look at all of the other ahadith which are around that we mentioned previously, like the splitting of the ummah, and that the fact that the messenger mentioned the jama'ah, and the fact that the messenger mentioned in another hadith that which I and my companions are upon today, then we understand that when the messenger says that the best of generation is my generation, then those who follow them, then those who follow them, this in itself is a command, an encouragement to stick to the deen of Allah upon the understanding of these three generations who are praised and mentioned with good in the sunnah. So that's the second hadith. And we see the istidlal, the deduction of evidence from that. The third hadith is the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ذروني ما تركتكم عليه فإنما حلك من كان قبلكم بكثرة مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم فما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم وما نحيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave me with respect to that which I have left you upon. For indeed, those who came before you, they perished because of their raising many issues and differing with their prophets. So whatever I have commanded you with, then do as much of it as you can. And whatever I have prohibited you from, then keep away from it. So this hadith, the Sheikh mentions, has a number of points. The first of those points is that the Messenger encouraged holding fast to his guidance and making tamassuk, holding fast to his sunnah, because he said, ذروني ما تركتكم عليه. He said, just leave me with respect that which I have left you upon, meaning act upon that which I have left you upon. And at the end he said, فَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. that whatever I have commanded you with, then bring as much of it as you can. So these two statements here in the hadith are in essence a command and encouragement and enticement to hold fast to his guidance and to his sunnah. The second thing which is in this hadith is warning from ikhtilaf, warning from differing. And so here the messenger said, for indeed those who perished before you did so because of their abundant raising of issues and differing with their prophets. So this hadith, this part of the hadith, is a proof that when the ummah, when it begins to differ with its prophet, then it subjects itself to destruction. And so from this we can clearly understand the reason for the destruction of this ummah and the pitiful state that we see it in. And when we explain the likes of these affairs, we return back to these great and amazing ahadith which explain to us the true and real foundational causes as to why we see the ummah in the pitiful state that it is. We learn from these clear statements and from this, again, this is a very good istidlal, a very good deduction of evidence by Sheikh Ubaid here, because he said that when the ummah, fal ummatu idha ikhtalafat ala nabiyyiha mu'ridatun lilhalak, that when the ummah differs from its prophet, it becomes subjected to destruction. So when we look at this ummah and we see the firq, the sects and the ahzab and the parties, we have the khawarij, we have the rafida, the qadriya, the murji'a, we have the jahmiya, the mu'tazila, the ash'ariya, the maturidiya, we have the ikhwan, tabligh, and all of these labels. When we see the ikhwan and the tabligh, this is just a modern phenomenon whereas before we would label people as jahmiya, mu'tazila, rafida, khawarij. In the 20th century, all of these ahzab, they've come in the name of giving da'wah, and they've assumed labels and titles. Jama'atul Muslimin, Ikhwanul Muslimin, Jama'atul Tabligh, Jama'atul Jihad, Hizbut Tahrir. And what these labels have done is to conceal the fact that underneath these labels, when we look at the reality of the founders of these jama'at, and the people who ascribe to them, we find amongst them the bid'ah of jahm, the bid'ah of i'tizal, the bid'ah of qadr, the bid'ah of jabr. And we find all of these different innovations. This is just one of the deceptions of the 20th century, that we have labor, we have dawah organizations, we have charity organizations, we have organizations claiming to work for Islam using all of these lofty titles and labels which are appealing to Muslims, but the reality underneath them is one of differing with its prophet, opposing its prophet in terms of creed, in terms of methodology. And so when the ummah does that, then it subjects itself to destruction. As the messenger said, فَإِنَّمَا حَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِكَثْرَةِ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ, that those who perished before you, they perished because of raising many issues and differing with their prophet. So this is how we explain, this is how we understand and explain the realities of the Muslim nation today. And because we explain these realities from the light of revelation, then that which we propose of rectification, rectifying the affairs of the Muslims, then it is no doubt the truth. It is the true methodology, because it is based upon the light of revelation. And from this we differ from the people of bid'ah and dalala, the people of opinion, the people of politics, the siyasa and the hizbiyah, the partisanship that we see present today, whose goal is really just politics and economy and social affairs, and that's what they make the basis of their rectification. And to them, the fact that the Muslimin are far, far, far removed from that Islam that gave the companions of Allah's Messenger the honor and the victory and so on and so forth, then this is of no concern to them whatsoever. So this is a second thing contained in this hadith, a very important and great deduction from this hadith. And the third issue is a great and amazing issue relating to the secrets of legislation, one of the asrar, one of the great things about the legislation of Islam, which is that the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's ordered to bring as many as He can, and if He's if He's not able to act upon certain commandments, then He is pardoned, He's overlooked for that shortcoming if He is genuinely not able to. And as for the prohibitions, then there is no pardon for falling into any of the prohibitions, unless of course there is tawbah. Tawbah removes everything. But from the point of view of legislation, then it is such in the Sharia that the commandments, a person must bring whatever he can of the commandments. And as for the prohibitions, he must not fall into any of the prohibitions. This is clear in the hadith, فَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأَتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I've commanded you with, bring as much of it as you can. وَمَا نَحَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. But whatever I have prohibited you from, then keep away from it. Keep away from all of it. So again, this is one of the issues of legislation. So here we conclude the evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah which command to unity and which prohibit from disunity. And this now leads us to the second half of the statement of Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, because in the second half he stated that ثُمَّ سَارَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِفْتِرَاقَ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِهِ هُوَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْفِقْهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَسَارَ الْإِجْتِمَاءُ فِي الدِّينِ لَا يَقُولُهُ إِلَّا زِنْدِيقٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. So he said that the affair then became turned the other way around, in that differing in the usul of the religion and the branches of the religion, in the foundations of the religion and the branches of the religion, that this became taken to be knowledge and fiqh in the religion. And as for unity in the religion, then no one called to it except that he was treated to be a heretic or a mad person. So in other words, the affair became turned the other way around. And so the Shaykh comments upon this, and he says that this is the outcome, this is what happened to the Muslim nation, except whom Allah showed His mercy, in that they fell into tahazzub, they fell into partisanship, until every hizb, every party, every group would only see the truth in light of its own foundations, in light of its own principles, which they set down and they laid down. And then every single sect, every single group began to rejoice. They were satisfied with what they had with them. And this is the very thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warned against when He said in the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Indeed, those who split their religion into sects, who split their religion and turn into sects, you have nothing to do with them at all. Their affair is with Allah, and He will inform them of that which they used to do. And so Shaykh Abdurrahman bin Nasir As-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, the Shaykh quotes from him, he cites the Shaykh, and the Shaykh says that in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has threatened those who split the religion, meaning that they divided it and they split therein, and every person began to take for him certain names. They began to specify certain names which don't benefit anybody. Names in the religion such as, for example, Judaism or Christianity or Magian, or the Majus, the Magian, the religion of the Magians. All of these are names and labels. So either this is what they did, they split their religion and took names for themselves, or what the people would do is that they would take something from the Sharia and make it to be his religion, and leave what is similar to it from the religion, or what is, which actually comes first and has more priority than it. So he leaves all of that and makes a part of the Sharia to be the basis of his religion. And this is the state and the condition of the people of Furqa, the people of splitting, from Ahlul Bidah, people of innovation, people of desires, the people of misguidance, and those who split the Ummah. And what this ayah indicates is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered with ijtima' upon the deen, and He has prohibited from tafarruq, from splitting and differing in the foundation of the deen, the foundation of the religion, and in all of the foundational issues, and likewise those subsidiary issues. And the Shaykh continues, he's still Shaykh Abdurrahman bin Nasr al-Sa'di, he continues, he says, and he, meaning Allah, commanded, meaning the Messenger, to free himself from those who split their religion. Lasta minhum fi shay. Allah says to the Messenger, lasta minhum fi shay. You have nothing to do with them at all. So this indicates, by the textual evidence of the Quran, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is free and innocent of all of those who came thereafter and split the Muslims and split the religion, from the Khawarij, the Rafida, the Qadariya, the Murjiya, the Jahmiya, and all of those who came after and split the deen of the Muslimin. Then at the end of the verse, Allah says, Innama amruhum ilallah, indeed their affair is with Allah. And Shaykh al-Sa'di continues to comment, he says, that they will return back to him, and he will recompense them for their actions. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Then he will inform them that which they used to do. And this is the end of the citation from Shaykh al-Sa'di, from Shaykh Ubaid, hafidhullah ta'ala. Then Shaykh Ubaid says, that I say in the Sunnah, in the authentic Sunnah, there has come this blame and criticism of splitting in the religion, and from that is the hadith that we mentioned previously, that the Jews split into 72 sects, the Christians split into 71 sects, and the Christians into 72 sects, and that this Ummah will split into 73, all of them in the fight except for one, and that is Al-Jama'ah. And the Shaykh mentions that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he explained the meaning of the word Jama'ah. He said, Al-Jama'atu ma wafaqa al-haq wa in kunta wahdak. That the Jama'ah, meaning of the Jama'ah in this hadith, is whatever agrees with the truth. Even if you are one person. And this hadith, because it was mentioned by the Messenger of Allah to the companions. And in the time of the companions, the majority were upon the truth. They were upon the truth. And so they were the Jama'ah. But thereafter, as misguidance spread and knowledge was raised and ignorance spread into the Ummah and innovation spread into the Ummah, then we see this criterion here, but from Ibn Mas'ud, that the Jama'ah ma wafaq al-haq wa in kunta wahdak. That thereafter, the truth, the Jama'ah, is only what agrees with the truth, even if you are one person. And this is our criterion of the Jama'ah. This is not the thinking of the various ahzab and the jama'at that we find in the field of da'wah today. They have a different, innovated understanding of jama'ah. From the Ikhwan and Hizb ut-Tahrir and other them. So to some of them, jama'ah means their political party. To others amongst them, it means the overall body of the Muslims. Everybody. Amongst them, the Jahmi, the Ash'ari, the Maturidi, the Takfiri, the Khariji, every single one. So all of these are false understandings of the word Jama'ah. The word Jama'ah means whatever is in agreement with the truth. And then the Shaykh says that after this I say that the Ummah will never be relieved of all of this splitting and differing and splintering except by two matters. The first of those matters is that they abandon every single ascription which the Hizbiyya, this narrow Hizbiyya, has brought about. In other words, that everybody leave these ascriptions that they have, whether it be to the Ash'aris, to the Mu'tazila, to the Maturidis, to the Ikhwan, Tabligh. All of these are ascriptions that these have been brought out by way of Hizbiyya, and they have split the Ummah. So abandonment of all of these ascriptions, and secondly, to return back to the Jama'ah Salafiyya, because this Jama'ah is the clear, upright, manifest Jama'a upon truth, upon al-bayda, upon clarity, whose light is, whose night is like its day. And no one deviates from this way except that he is destroyed, in accordance with the statement of the Messenger of Allah, who mentioned the likes of this speech. And this is al-firqatul najiyah, it is al-ta'ifatul mansura, the saved sect, the aided group. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned about this. He said, La aiba ala man adhara madhhab as-salaf wa intasaba ilayh. There is no fault or blame upon the one who proclaims and manifests the madhhab of the salaf and who ascribes to it, wa ataza ilayh, and who refers back to it. Bal yajibu qubulu dhalika minhu bil ittifaq. It is obligatory to accept that from him by unanimous agreement. Fa inna madhhab as-salaf la yakun illa haqqan. For indeed, the way of the Salaf is never anything except the truth. Then he carries on. He says, فَإِنْ كَانَ مُوَافِقًا لَهُ بَاطِنًا وَظَاهِرًا فَهُوَ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي هُوَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ بَاطِنًا وَظَاهِرًا. So if a person is upon this Salafiyyah, he agrees upon this Salafiyyah, he's in agreement with Salafiyyah, both inwardly and outwardly, then he is just like the believer who is upon the truth, inwardly and outwardly. And if he is in agreement with it outwardly, but not inwardly, then he is like the munafiq, he is like the hypocrite. And so therefore, what we see outwardly from him, we accept that from him, and his inward reality is entrusted to Allah. Because we are not ordered to tear open the hearts of the people, or tear open their bodies. And this is the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, as quoted by Shaykh Ubaid. And this brings us to the end of Shaykh Ubaid's explanation. And so from what we've gathered and learned from the explanation of Shaykh Ubaid is that the Shaykh has brought us four texts from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to the command to unity and prohibition of splitting. And then he also brought three or four ahadith from the Sunnah in which he made some very valuable deductions of evidence. And so this concludes our lesson here for today. Inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson we are going to see some other angles, and this is the benefit of looking through many different explanations from the various mashayikh, in that you see that each shaykh brings an angle or a perspective or a deduction of evidence that you will not find with another shaykh. And so in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala, we will go through the explanation of the Shaykh and Imam Ahmad bin Yahya al-Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And this leads us to conclude our lesson for today. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.